Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, how's everybody doing this morning? All right, quick survey. How many of you, first night at camp, so how many of you would say, I maybe got like 3 hours of sleep last night? Okay, we'll have to verify that with your camp, with your cabin leaders. I'm looking at them, they're just like, no, they're up all night. They wouldn't shut up. All right, good deal. Well, hey, I want to just kind of get an idea where some people are from here, because we're coming in from all over. So just let me know. Just let me know when I'm going to pick some random states in around this area. Oh, we'll get to that in just a second. We're in Michigan, right? So is anybody like actually from Michigan that's here? All right. Okay. All right. So I live, I told y'all yesterday, I live in Indiana. So anybody from Indiana? Okay. But before I lived in Indiana, I lived over in Ohio. Anybody from Ohio? Okay. Now, before I lived in Ohio, I lived 2 years in Illinois. So is anybody from Illinois? Yeah. Okay. So my people from Illinois, shout out to my Chicago Cubs, who absolutely beat the brakes off the St. Louis Cardinals. Woo! All right. I knew I was gonna have some Cardinal people in here, so I'm coming after y'all. Okay. We took two out of three, so y'all can shut it. Okay, all right. Anybody from any of those states I didn't mention? Any states I didn't mention? Right here, where are you from? Iowa. All right. The Iowa Cubs, AAA. All right. Where are you from? Spain. Are you visiting us from Basque Country? All right. Anybody know where Basque Country is in Spain? All right. I've been there twice. Awesome. If you get a chance to go, do it. Okay, anybody else? Where are you from? Texas. Is everything bigger in Texas? Okay. So how are you the only one from Texas here? You think? Okay, so like how did you end all the way up in Michigan? Okay, so you used to, and then you moved to Texas. Okay, you moved from Texas to Indiana. Okay. Okay, now I can't get everybody. So I'm seeing some people point back here. Where are you from? Canada. Awesome. How's it, like, is this your first time at camp? From Canada? Like, where in Canada? Toronto. All right. I've been to Toronto. If you get a chance to go to Toronto, do it. Awesome city. Cool. All right. Last group. Sorry. Last group. Back here. Florida. Okay. All right. So not quite as humid as Florida, but give us a couple of days and we'll get there. All right, so last night, in mentioning a bunch of stuff, I forgot to mention something. So we are at Camp-A-Lot, right? Yeah. Okay, so we are at Camp-A-Lot where we have kings and we have wizards and we have ladies. And I love how it's just the poor girl just named Peasant. She just had just Peasant. Okay, so we have all that. But I forgot to mention that I'm from Warsaw, Indiana, and I live in a family full of Lancers. Lancer up! Lancer up! Okay, so this is my wife Amy. She actually works at Grace College. That's how we ended up over in that area. So there she is. There's Sir Red, the number one Lancer. That's her friend Leanne that she works with. So and then here's going to be our newest Lancer. So here you go. This is Ryan, who's going to be there in the fall. So during, like, you can find me at, if Grace has a home basketball game, you can probably find me there. And if you listen carefully, you can probably hear me yelling. And then Amy is just like, stop it. Stop yelling. So, all right. So forgot to mention that. I'm in kind of that royal court as well there in a family full of Lancers. So Lancer up. There you go. All right. Hey, let's recap night one. What was our word last night? All right, you guys are already crushing it. I can tell by the end of the week, you guys are gonna have all of these figured out. So, and then what's the letter that we're in? Colossians. Okay. All right. So last our first night was fruit, and we are in the letter of Colossians. So let's pick up where we left off. So we did the first 8 verses. We're going to pick it up, chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to have, so find that in your Bible. We're also going to have this up on the wall for you, if you're still like learning how to navigate through your scripture. And let's read through it, starting at verse 9. So, after all this stuff that we've talked about, and God is producing fruit in us, and we talked about what those that fruit is, verse 9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good what? Fruit, okay. All the while, you will grow and you learn to know God better and better. Verse 11, we also pray, I think this is the next one, there you go. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Remember, we talked about that last night. We're not going to be patient on our own. That's got to be Jesus doing a good work in us. May you be filled with joy again. Jesus is doing that, not us. Always thanking the Father, He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from, hey, we've been talking about a kingdom. Paul throws this out. He has rescued us from a kingdom of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Okay, a lot going on. Remember, this week we're always going to try to answer 3 questions. And our first question is always, what? Good job. So our first question, what? And the word I want you to remember for today with this section is the word will. The word will. Because, look at the question after that. What is God's will for my life? Anybody ever ask that question? Just because you're in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, that doesn't mean that you can't ask that question. Because there might be people already saying, hey, what do you think God's will is for your life? So has anybody asked that question just to themselves, just in their own mind? Like, what's God's will for my life? Anybody asked that question recently, like this past week? Like, what is God's will for my life? If you haven't, you will eventually get there. I bet a lot of your staff here, a lot of your cabin leaders at one point have asked that question, what's God's will for for my life? Now, what's funny is when we typically ask that, those of you who put your hands up and say, yeah, I've asked that question, most of the time when you ask that question, what is God's will for my life, what are you really asking? What are we really saying? What's God's will for my life? Most of you all who are here in the middle, okay, what do you think we're really asking? What is God's purpose for my life? Which usually kind of translates into, what does God want me to do for the rest of my life? You guys follow me? Like, what does God want me to be professionally? What does God want me to do as a job? Like, you think about what your parents or whoever the decision-making adult that you live with, and I say, what does that person do? Then you could tell me that. And so sometimes we say, what's God's will for my life? We sometimes, like, translate that as, what does God want me to do for the rest of my life? What's my job going to be? So anybody here in like this front row, even though you guys are young, that's okay. Anybody in this front row think you like right now you might kind of have an idea what you think you might want to do when you become an adult? Anybody willing to share? So first of all, what's your name? Michaela. Okay, Michaela, what do you right now kind of think maybe you might want to do?
I want to get into youth missionary or be a teacher at a Christian school.
Okay, so if you didn't hear that in the back, Michaela said that she might want to get into some sort of like youth mission work or teach at a Christian school. Is that correct? Okay, great. Okay, you got your hand up right here. So first of all, tell me your name real loud because my hearing's terrible.
Mariah.
Okay, Mariah, do you think you kind of have an idea on what you might want to do when you get older? Did you say you want to be a masseuse? That is awesome. That is like, The world is Michaela. The world keeps getting more and more stressed out, and so the world needs more people who are gifted in the art of massage that can help people release all of their tension. So that's fantastic. Okay, one more because we got to move on. I want to make sure I get you guys out of here in a timely manner. Right here, your name, nice and loud.
Lydia.
Is it Lydia? Okay, Lydia, what do you think?
I want to be a cosmetologist.
Cosmetologist. Okay, does everybody know what that means? The guys are all like, no. Okay. Do you want to tell us what cosmetology is? Okay. She wants to help people kind of have like the glow up. You want to help people look good, right? Okay, look good, feel good. Okay. Awesome. So I bet everybody kind of has an idea, which I bet your cabin counselor knows kind of what they're interested in doing. That's probably why they might be at school right now studying a certain thing. So what if I told you, that these two questions, what is God's will for my life and what am I going to do professionally when I grow up, when I become an adult? What if I told you that those aren't the same question? Sometimes we confuse those as the same question and we really, really want to know what God's will for our life is, but sometimes we make this jump into like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And what if I told you that that's not really the same question? Those are completely different questions. And then, stick with me here, what if I told you, furthermore, that several times in God's word, God answers that first question, what is God's will for my life? There's a few times in Scripture where God is pretty clear about what His will is for our lives. I'm going to check this out. There's a few of them. I don't have time to get into all of them, but I'm going to show you some scriptures about God's will, and one of the answers is in our scripture today that we're looking at. So I'm just going to point out a few of these here. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think. By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. So, if I'm reading this correctly, that verse seems to say that God's will for your life is, first of all, don't be like everybody else, but let Jesus transform you into a different person based on what you think up here. You guys following me? That's part of God's will for your life. Let Jesus transform who you are based on how you think. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Simple as this. Number one, always be joyful. Number two, never stop praying. Number three, be thankful in all circumstances, even the ones that you didn't ask for, even the ones that kind of are terrible. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. So again, when we say what's God's will for my life, He's making it pretty clear in the scripture that it's about how we live. It's not about what we do. It's about how we live. And then look at this one. Hey, this is straight out of our passage for today. Colossians 1:9-10. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. So, if I'm reading this faithfully, if I'm reading God's word faithfully, as well as these other passages, it seems to imply that God's will, when you say, what's God's will for my life? Simple as this. God's will for your life is for you to live a life that honors and pleases Him and produces what we talked about last night, good fruit. That's it. Which brings us to our second question, which is always going to be, so what? All right, y'all are getting there. Before we get there, God's will for your life is to honor and please Him and produce good fruit. I want to make sure you got that. God's will for your life is for you to honor and please Him and produce good fruit. Let's take it to so what? Why is this important? Why is this important? It's important because sometimes we think that God While God is mysterious and we don't know everything that God knows, and that's for our own good that we don't know everything that God knows, God is not this secret keeper in the sky that's trying to get you to beg and plead and grovel and twist his arm into sharing the secret with you. God's not a great secret keeper. God's letting you guys know what he wants for your life here. And it's not a mystery. The so what? When we say what's God's will for your life, it is more about who we are becoming in Jesus more than what we become. Does that make sense? It's more about who are you as a person following Jesus rather than what you choose to go to school for, go to college for, train for professionally or vocationally. It's more about who are you inside than it is what are you doing every day with your life. So when we talk about God's will, it's about this. Who am I every day rather than what am I doing to collect a paycheck or to earn a living? Now, I will say this. As you get older, as you become an adult, if you make a series of bad decisions, if you make a series of poor choices, then that can have a major impact on what you become. You guys following me? If you make a bunch of bad decisions, then that's going to have an impact on what you become. So, if you get done with high school and they say, what do you want to do with your life? And you're just like, well, I've given it a lot of thought, and I think I'm going to become a professional criminal. I think what I'm really interested in and what I'm most gifted at is robbing banks. So that's what I've decided to do. First of all, people are going to give you some weird looks, as they should. And if you make a series of bad decisions and decide, well, we're just going to rob banks every day, at some point, you're probably going to get caught. Then you're going to be sitting in a jail cell somewhere, but like, I wonder how I got here. Well, dumb, it's all those bad decisions you made. So that can have an effect on what you become. And I would also follow that up with saying, can you faithfully follow Jesus and bear good fruit and rob banks at the same time? No. So that's what I'd have to say to you. So if you make a series of bad choices with your what you want to do professionally, if you're not honoring Jesus, then it's going to be easier to make those bad choices. You guys still with me? Don't confuse those two. God's concerned about what's going on in here and how you are living more so than what you are doing professionally. So if you are out there thinking, but what does God want me to do? Maybe you're still stuck on that. But I want to know what God wants me to do for the rest of my life. Well, I'm 48 years old, and I'm still working through some of that stuff. God's still using me in different ways. So if you're still like locked into that, and you want to know, what does God want me to do? How's this? How's this for an answer? And the older I get, the more I believe it. If you are living every day pursuing after Jesus, if you are living every day where your desire is to please God, to honor Jesus, and to bear fruit, you guys with me so far? If that's how you are living every day, hear this. I think God is totally cool with whatever you want to do professionally. As long as it's not robbing banks or doing something illegal, okay? I don't want this to end up on the podcast. I'm like, well, the guy at camp told me that it was okay for me to like cheat people and steal their money. Like, no. But again, if you're honoring Jesus, you're not going to be doing any of that stuff. So if you are living every day to honor Jesus with your life and bear fruit, I think God is totally cool with whatever you choose to do professionally. So back to what some of our friends shared here. So if it is, I want to be involved in mission work or teach at a Christian school, I think God's totally cool with that. If it's, man, I want to be a masseuse and I want to help people get freed from some bad muscle stuff or some joint things or something like that. Man, I want to give people a quality of life, but I also want to honor Jesus with my life and my work, and I want to bear good fruit. I think God is totally cool with you being a masseuse. If you're just like, you know what, man, I think that if people's hair looks good and their makeup looks good and their nails look good and they feel good about themselves and their eyebrows are all kind of like in good shape and we don't have like stuff connecting the two here. If we got all that, we don't have these like, because look, man, the older I get, like I get these like crazy eyebrow hairs that want, they used to all grow in a nice line, and now I got ones that are just like, nah, I'm going this way, and it's just going to start like working up this way. It just sucks getting older. So, but that's one of those things. So all that being said, If you want to do that and honor Jesus, I think God is totally cool with you being a cosmetologist. Does that make sense? So, whatever that is, as long as your life is living every day honoring Jesus and pleasing Him and bearing fruit, doesn't matter what you want to be. If you are that ambitious, and we have somebody in here who somewhere along the way is going to become the next Pete Crow Armstrong and be an outfielder for the Cubs and is going to be like crushing it, then you know what? As long as you are honoring Jesus with your life and bearing good fruit, I think God is totally in with you playing for the Cubs. I'm in. You play for the Cubs. I hope you come back and find me like, hey, Kevin, you remember when you were at camp? I'm playing for the Cubs now. You want to come sit behind my home plate? I'm like, yes! So make sure you look me up when you start playing for the Cubs. All that being said, I don't think God necessarily minds what you want to do as long as you are living every day to please Him. Does that make sense? You get what I'm saying? So, because here's the deal. A lot of people who study this passage think that there was something going on there in Colossae that some people were saying that everything is mysterious about God, and everything is mysterious about Jesus. And so what you had to do was you had to work harder. You had to pray more. You had to go through a series of rituals. You had to do all of these things, and maybe God might let you in on what His will is. And then everybody's just kind of like, ooh, we got the secret knowledge about who Jesus is, but what about this group over here? Well, they don't have it yet. They're just going to have to work harder until they get it. So that's kind of what was going on in that area. Some people thought they had it, and they're like, ooh, we got the secret. And then all you bums over here who don't have it, keep trying harder, and maybe God will let you in on it. And Paul's like, nope, I want God to let everybody know what's going on in His will. And His will is that you will live lives that please Him and bear good fruit. Which takes us to our final question, which is always going to be what? Now what? Got to point it this way. Keep point. This is a clear sign that somebody is old when they like point the thing at the screen that doesn't have any technology and you always need to point it to where the thing actually works. This is like a sign that somebody gets old. So I bet some of y'all laughed at your teachers this past year when they're like pointing at the screen when they needed to be pointing at their computer, and it's okay because we're old and that's just how we act. So, all right. Okay. Now what? Now what? This is what I want to give you guys, because we got a couple minutes here, and so I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to give you guys a minute to just try to think through this. This is a question for us to ask ourselves. Again, I don't care if you think, I can't do this because I'm only a certain age. That's baloney. That's garbage. Just because you're going into 7th grade, 8th grade, you can still do this. In fact, I would say the sooner you start doing this now, when you get to my age, your life is going to be a heck of a lot easier and simpler because you started doing this stuff now. I was not doing this when I was your all's age. So I was kind of behind when I started following Jesus. Now what? Think about this. How can I answer this question here? And it's going to be different. If we got 200 people in this room, we could have 200 different answers. I can live out God's will every day by what? By doing this, by living this way, by how I treat other people, by how I talk to my parents, by how I communicate with my siblings, by how I respect others. By how I treat my teachers at school, by how I treat people in the community, by how do I treat somebody who may have less than I have. How do I interact with these people? So how can I live? I can live out God's will every day by. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give us about a minute just to kind of sit in silence. Let God's Spirit talk to us about this. How can I live out God's will every day? Because that is what he wants for us, is for us to please him and live lives that bear fruit. 60 seconds. Let's think about it. Now, if you didn't come up with something just yet, that's all right. Jesus is still going to be talking to you about this. Jesus is still going to be speaking to your heart about this stuff. I tell my students at school, because I think if I'm with them 180 days out of the year, I feel like that if I say this maybe about 75 times to 80 times, it might click. But this is what I come back to this over and over, and I'll share this here now. The toughest decision that we're going to have to answer every day, the moment our eyes open and we're awake for the day, this is the toughest decision you're going to have to answer every day. You ready? Am I going to please Jesus today, or am I going to live for myself? That's the hardest question you're going to answer every day. Am I going to live for Jesus today? Am I going to do what's pleasing for Jesus? Or am I going to be selfish and do what I want to do? And some days are going to be better than others. And every day we're going to have to do that. And just because we're successful one day at it, that doesn't mean we're going to be great at it the next day. Every day we have to choose to live in God's will, which is to please him and to bear good fruit. Keep thinking about this. I'm going to close us out in prayer, and then you guys are dismissed to head to your next round of stuff today. So let's close out. God, just because the majority of people in this room are young and haven't started thinking about what am I going to do with the rest of my life, the important thing is that you desire us to live lives that please you, bring you honor, and bear good fruit. And whether or not 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we find out there's people in this crowd that are working as missionaries somewhere, that are performing therapeutic services for people to release stress or injuries or muscle cramps, spasms, all these kinds of things, Lord. Or we have people who are fixing people's hair, making people look good. If we have people in here who are going to be PhDs in chemistry and are going to be figuring out these scientific issues and solving the mysteries of the universe, or if we have people in here who are fixing people's plumbing or their air conditioning, or it doesn't matter. Jesus, it doesn't matter. If we are living lives that please you, Jesus, you approve of what we do every day, no matter what we're doing professionally, if we are living lives that honor you and bear fruit. So I pray that every time these students ask that question, what's God's will for my life, that they remember these passages and know that it's pretty clear what you want for us, what your will is for our lives. So help us think about how can we live that out every day, that we don't wait until we're 20, 30, 40 years old and say, well, this is what God wanted me to do. But we start doing that now, and how are we bearing fruit for the kingdom and treating others the way that you want us to treat them? So God, I pray that you bless the rest of this afternoon, that whatever our campers get into, that they are learning to be more and more like you and to live more and more like Jesus here at camp. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll see you later. All right, how we doing? You good? All right. I saw some of y'all from a distance, but how many of you guys went out there and like did the tubing? Who was doing tubing this afternoon? All right. Now of those of you who said that you went tubing, any of you all like get thrown? Anybody get thrown off? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you all survived and you made it back here this evening. I hope you had a good afternoon. I hope you had a good afternoon, whatever you did, whatever you got into. So we're going to pick it back up. What letter are we in? Colossians. Okay. All right. We're going to do this every time. This is our recap. Last night's word. Fruit. Okay. This morning's word. All right. Okay. If y'all keep this up by the end of the week, what I'm going to want is I'm going to take you all back to my school and put you all in my Bible classes since you guys are paying attention. Because sometimes I got some kids in those classes and they don't always totally pay attention. That's okay. I mean, maybe it's different camp, school. I get it. But you show me that you guys are sticking with it. You guys are paying attention. So I appreciate it. Let's just keep going. Let's keep going. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning. I'm going to get just a little bit. I'm just getting just a little bit nerdy on y'all this evening, but it's not because not for the sake of being nerdy, but it's because the stuff that's in God's Word is so cool that if we slow down, sometimes we just want to read through, we want to read through God's Word to see how much of a chunk we can read through in a day, but we might miss something really, really cool in a few verses that if we just slow down and really take in what God's Word is trying to say to us, we might catch some stuff that can really blow our minds if we sit and think long enough on it. The Scripture is designed for us to meditate on it, which means kind of like perfect example. So when we had Ryan's graduation party, the food that we made for Ryan's graduation party was we did shredded pork. And so what we did is we started by like cooking that on a grill with smoke to try to like get it all smoky, but we couldn't quite eat it just yet because it still needed to cook. And so then we transferred that into like a crock pot and let it cook longer. And so that's kind of what God's Word is designed to be. Are you saying God's Word is designed to be like pork? No. What I'm saying is that sometimes the longer we sit in it and take time to chew on it and really get it into our hearts, some cool stuff is going to point out. So I'm going to get a little nerdy here in a little bit, so just bear with me, but hopefully this enlightens us, this kind of almost breaks our brain, like the things that Jesus is doing based on what Paul is communicating here in Scripture. So let's start. Verse 15, chapter 1, slowly getting towards the end of chapter 1 here. So let's read through 15 through 23. And again, it's going to be up here on the wall. Now, I love it, I love it, I love it. Here you go, verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Let's keep going. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to dwell in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God, which is all of us at some point in our lives. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. That's almost like a little preview for what we're going to get into next. You must stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you first heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Now, it's a lot. It's like 8 or 9 verses there. But hopefully you picked up on all these verses. Paul is talking about Jesus himself. The first couple things that we looked at, it's almost like Paul is kind of like setting the stage to get to talk about Jesus. And so then he sets it up like we looked at this morning, that God has transferred us from this one kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And then, boom, he starts talking about who Jesus is and paints this amazing picture about who Jesus is in these few verses. Paul starts to go into detail about Jesus. Remember, in this area where Paul was writing this letter, we said that there were competing ideas about who Jesus was. Some people thought Jesus was the Son of God. Some people thought that Jesus was a great teacher. Some people thought that it didn't even matter if Jesus came in a physical body, because it didn't really matter, because the most important thing was your mind and your spirit and your soul. And so some people were just like, the body doesn't even matter. The body's kind of evil. All that matters is what's going on in your mind and in your heart. So we have all of these competing ideas about who Jesus is, and here's this young church trying to figure out, what do we do with Jesus? And so Paul gives us this great explanation of who Jesus is, telling us that he is the visible image of the invisible God, that he existed before anything was created, and that God created everything through him, and that he holds all the creation together. So Paul is talking about the superiority of who Jesus is. So our first question is always, what? Our first question is always, what? So the term I want you guys to remember for this section is this word center, because Jesus is at the center of everything, especially if we pay close attention to what Paul is saying here. Paul is firmly establishing Jesus' superiority to everything. He even goes so far to point out to these people that Jesus, like, we know that Jesus came to earth in human form, right? Because that's what we celebrate Christmas about every year. And Paul is saying, not only did he come to earth in human form, but he existed even before that stuff even happened. Jesus has been around before anything else, and that everything was made through him, and that he holds all creation together. Here's what's cool about God's word, is that we have Paul writing this stuff probably about 20 to 30 years after Jesus left the earth and went back to be with the Father. And so Paul is writing this to one group of people who are following Jesus in one part of the world. And then maybe 40 years after Paul writes this, we see John, the disciple of Jesus, writing something very, very similar in his gospel. Remember, this is what Paul gave us. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, that he existed before anything anything was created and is supreme over all creation, that he existed before anything else and he holds all things together. So that's Paul. And then look what John wrote. Again, maybe 30 or 40 years after Paul wrote this, I'm not even sure that Paul and John had a ton of interaction with each other, but it just shows how God's Spirit speaks to different people at different times. Look at what John says at the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. John is obviously talking about Jesus. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Do you see how these passages are saying almost the same thing? And nothing was created except that through him. And the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. So that's one of the cool things about God's Word, is that we've got two different guys who probably knew about each other, but John and Paul didn't necessarily spend a lot of time together because they were in different parts of the world at that point, and yet they're writing similar stuff about who Jesus is, because Jesus is at the center of everything. And if we're reading this faithfully, this is suggesting to us that Jesus, when we talk about creation, that Jesus is actually the creative force behind everything that's taking place. Meaning, if we go all the way back to Genesis 1, if we line up Genesis 1, what John is saying, what Paul is saying, it's almost like when we see passages in Genesis chapter 1 that says, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth, and then God says things like, let there be light, and let there be ground that forms, and let the water separate. So it's almost like God says these things, and then these things happen. I wouldn't call you crazy if you said, well, then, it's like Jesus, God says, let's have the stuff, and then Jesus goes to work and starts making this. You guys still with me? I know it sounds a little nerdy, but we're talking about how important and how central Jesus is to everything, not just everything we believe, but just everything that exists. And so Jesus has this role in creation. Jesus has a role of creation. I tell you what, ever since this scripture started to get into my heart, wherever I go, if it's in this country or if it's someplace else, whenever I see something that in nature or creation that just kind of blows my mind, my mind goes back to these things about saying that Jesus has a role as creator. These are all pictures that I took of places that I have been in the world. Now, this place over here on the left, where are my people from Spain? Do you recognize this place? All right. This place over on the left. Now, obviously, there's like a little chapel that's been built up on top of this, but this is this place that's kind of like out in the mountain, like this like mountain that's kind of out in the middle of the ocean, like jutted out into the ocean. It's called San Juan de Gastelahache, and this is like a gajillion stairs going all the way up, and it feels like you're, at some points, it feels like you're climbing straight up, but I like see this thing, and I'm like, man, that's so cool. That's so cool. Jesus has a role in the creation of this stuff. Up here in the top right-hand corner, that's a hot spring at Yellowstone National Park, way out in Wyoming. And it's really hot. Like, they have signs that say, don't mess around with this. Don't even, like, you know, put the tip of your finger in there unless you want to have everything that's on the tip of your finger to completely, like, dissolve. So, but I see that, and you see these like cool colors, and you see the steam coming off that, and I'm just like, man, Jesus has a role in the creation of this thing. When God is creating, when he's setting everything up, Jesus is a creative force that's doing this. Now, this thing here on the bottom, this on the bottom, you're just like, okay, that's a sunset, big deal. Yeah, you can kind of see the sun off here in the distance. Okay, yeah, all right, Kevin, I've seen sunset. You want to know the wacky thing about this picture of the sunset? It was midnight when I took this picture. Because I was up above the Arctic Circle, I was right off the coast of Norway, and we had heard about this thing called the midnight sun, and so we stayed up to watch it because we were like, that's totally whack. It can't be like daylight out at like midnight, 1 a.m, 2 a.m, and it was. It's crazy. We literally watched the sun do this. So we have like the kind of the horizon there. This was actually the next night. So here you can kind of see the sun. But the next night, we're like, all right, let's watch it. And we started to watch, like, the sun set. I know, I get it. It's actually the earth rotating. So, okay, but the sun is starting to set. And the sun kind of gets to, like, what would be maybe like an inch or so above the sea. And then it just kind of stops. And then it starts moving right back up. So we had one night where we didn't have night. So it was weird. We had to, like, shut our curtains. And Amy is just like, don't think about it being bright outside because you'll never fall asleep. So, all of that being said, like, Jesus has a role in how this stuff is set up and how the world is created if we are reading this faithfully, because he is in the center. Let's think about how this applies to the universe. Have you ever thought about how our earth is positioned in the galaxy itself, in our solar system? That if our earth was a little bit closer by, like, you know, a few thousand miles or so, you know, if you're like 2 miles closer, it's not going to make that big of a difference. But if we were, you know, a little bit closer to the sun, it'd be too hot for us to even live here. Like, the sun would absolutely cook us. Like, I know it was hot today, but we're talking next level hot. If we were too close to the sun, it would cook us. And if we were too far away, the opposite, we'd all freeze to death. Because Jesus has a role in creation to put it in the right spot where we're exactly supposed to be at the right time. You ever thought about this? That the earth isn't, like, we see the earth, and but the earth is actually kind of tilted like this on its axis at about 23.5 degrees. And so we're not completely like this, we're kind of like that. Do you realize that if we were not like that and we were just like this, we would never have any seasons. So where you, like, wherever you live geographically, it's probably going to be about the same weather all the time. And I got bad news for you. If you live this far north, it's probably never going to be warm. It's probably going to be pretty cold all the time because we're further away from the equator than some of the other places. So Jesus has a role in that, that the earth is tilted exactly the way it needs to be so that everybody around the earth can experience seasons, and so we can get warm weather now and then get not so great weather in like January and February up around here. Those of y'all who rock Midwest winter every year, you're just like, oh, it's the worst. So Jesus has a role in that stuff, and I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but Jesus is at the center of these things. When God is putting creation together, Jesus is doing this stuff. Let's talk about your own body. Let's talk about your own body. Did you know that right now your body is made up roughly of about 100 trillion, with a T, cells? That's all put together. About 100 trillion cells makes up our bodies, which is crazy if you think about how we all got started out as your mom contributed one cell and your dad contributed one cell. And that's how we got our start. And now we are at over 100 trillion. You know how long it would take you to count to 1 trillion? 31,000 years. You don't have enough time to count to a trillion, and we have 100 trillion cells, and Jesus is the one who is putting this stuff together because God is making us in his image and after his likeness. And so Jesus has a role in creation, and you were made with care, and you were made with intent and design because Jesus is at the center of these things. He holds everything together. These are Paul's words, not mine. Now we're talking about, we've looked at nature, we've talked about that. Let's continue with we talked about how our body's made up of cells. I'm going to put a picture up here on the wall. Let's talk about how important, when we talk about Jesus holds everything together. Anybody have any idea what this is a picture of? My man in the back, you threw your hand up like super quick. So say it nice and loud. What do you think this is a picture of? An eyeball? Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Man right here with the black shirt. What do you think this is a picture of? It's a good guess. One final guess right here. One final guess. An atom. Right on. This was the first image that was taken of an atom of hydrogen. And hydrogen is the smallest element that we have in the universe. It's one. It's got one proton, and it has one electron that's going around it at crazy speeds. And so this is the tiniest thing that exists in nature, in the universe, is an atom of hydrogen. And Jesus is at the center of this thing. Now, to show you that when Jesus creates things and he puts things in order, that he doesn't want it messed with, we'll take a look at the next picture. So here is the small, so this had to be taken with this like subatomic microscope to even get a visual image of what an atom of hydrogen looks like. Do you know what this is? This is what happens when you mess with the smallest thing in science. This is a picture taken overhead of a testing of an H-bomb, H meaning hydrogen, in the South Pacific around 1946, when they were testing explosives, when they were testing nuclear weapons to see what would happen and how big was the blast and all this stuff. So the tiniest thing in nature, if you mess with it, if you try to alter its composition and you try to make it something that it's not, this is the result, is a gigantic explosion. We don't have time to get into the science about how that works. But do you see, when Jesus designs something, he doesn't design for it to be messed with because it's already perfect in its form. And if you mess with the tiniest thing, this is what's going to happen. So Jesus is at the center of all of this stuff. So when we talk about he is holding everything together, this is the Jesus that we worship. Yes, Jesus loves everybody. Yes, Jesus came to save us and to free us from the grip of sin and slavery. Jesus came to free us of this stuff. But Jesus also created everything that we have here, including us. He is part of the, he is the creative force behind that stuff. And so Paul is describing this Jesus as being the center in everything. So we spent a lot of time on what? Focusing on Jesus being the center here, because that's really what Paul's getting at, is he wants people to know that Jesus is at the center of all of these things, which leads us to our second question, which is always, so what? Why is this important? This is important because, I think I referenced this the first night, is that this is the only reason that we are here. Meaning, Jesus is the common denominator in this room. I know a few of you in this room, but I don't know everybody in this room. But we are all here because of Jesus. We are all here because of Jesus' centrality, because of Jesus' role in creation and his role in our lives. This camp was founded based on Christ. And then the church, that maybe your church that sent you here because Jesus is the common denominator. He is what all of us have in common here. So why is this important? So what? It's because Jesus is who makes all of this stuff possible. If you've ever thought, how is my life different if I don't know Jesus? And it doesn't just mean, well, it's because, well, now I'm just making all these poor choices and I'm making these poor decisions and I'm not having this good fruit in your life. It also changes who you know. Some of you might not even be friends with certain people because you don't, if you didn't know Jesus. I don't meet and get married to Amy in the back if I don't know Jesus. Because I ended up at the same school where she was, and then that's how we met. But if I didn't know Jesus, then I certainly don't end up at a Christian school. Do you guys see what I'm saying? So Jesus is the common bond for all of us. Jesus is who holds all these things together. So when we say, so what? That's why this is important. That's what Paul's trying to get across to the Colossians. Jesus is got to be at the center of everything that we do and everything that we believe and everything that we teach. And so then that gets us to question three, which is always, now what? What do I do with this? We've gotten a little bit nerdy. We've talked about how Jesus is in some ways very scientific. Jesus knows exactly what we need and knows exactly how our bodies function. Jesus knows exactly how the world should be set up and structured and the things that it is designed. So we got all of that. But where am I making Jesus center of things? Jesus is at the center, but that doesn't mean that we always make him the center of things. Sometimes we do a good job at making ourselves the center of these things. Kind of back to this morning, toughest question we're going to answer is am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to follow myself? And so what I'd like to do as our band is going to come back up here, I think they have a closing song for us. While they are making their way back up here, think about how would you answer this question, or how would you fill in this today? That says, Jesus, I'm making you the center of my fill in the blank. Now, of course, some of you could just write, life, done, check. But maybe you want to get real specific. Maybe some of you are like, Jesus, I want to make you the center of my school year this year. Jesus, I want to make you the center of my athletic season. Some of you all, when you start back up, maybe some of you all go straight into like soccer season, or maybe some of you all go straight into like cross country season, volleyball season, whatever. And you say, Jesus, this year it's going to be different. This year you're going to be at the center of this. Maybe it's, Jesus, I want you at the center of my home. Maybe you are the only one here. Maybe you're the only person in your house who's following Jesus. And that might be tough on you. So to say, Jesus, man, I got to make you the center of my life because nobody else is really interested in you right now. So everybody's going to answer that different, but make sure you spend time and say, Jesus, I want to make you center this way. I'm going to pray, and then our worship team is going to close us out. Jesus, when we talk about you being at the center of everything, that you designed this for us. If we are reading the scripture faithfully, if we are taking Paul at his word and John at his word, then we can't help but think that Jesus, you have a role in how things were made and how we're made. And so, Jesus, we have an opportunity to say, am I going to put you at the center of my life? Or am I just going to keep doing what I'm doing? And that's not easy. If it was easy, we'd all be doing this already. But Jesus, for those out there who put a real specific thing, that Jesus, I want to make you the center of my athletic season this year. Jesus, I want to make you the center of my relationship that I have with my parents, or the way that I interact with my siblings or my friends, that Jesus, you would not only do that, but that you would bear that fruit that we've been talking about as you are the center in our lives. So challenge us with that, Jesus, that we would make you the center. And I thank you that you are the reason that we are all here tonight. So God, as we close this out, I pray that you be glorified. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.